chapter 1 and verse 1. Don't worry if you're not able to stand for any health reasons. Don't just remain seated. Don't be worried. Don't be embarrassed. But it is a biblical principle to stand for the reading of the Word of God. In any case, it's a good principle. So we'll stand for Joshua chapter 1 and we're reading from verse 1. Thank you. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word this morning. We began our series last Sunday morning in the book of Joshua. It was really called A Journeying with Joshua. And we began very simply. We looked at the place in the canon where we find the book of Joshua in the Word of God. We did a short perusal of its contents. It really covers the period of Israel coming into the land. It talks about the battles that they happened to fight, the likes of Jericho and Ai and many other battles. Then came the dividing of the land among the tribes. And when you come to the end of the book, it's really an epilogue. And we read much about Joshua in the last two chapters of this book. We then talked about the pedigree of the character. We would all want to aspire to be like Joshua, to be the men and women of God that he would want us to be. And we noticed some things about Joshua. Joshua realized that he needed power, but not his own power. And Joshua realized there was the need for prayer. Do you remember how Moses had to have his hands held up? And when they were held up and when Moses was praying, Israel prevailed. And likewise, when prayer was weak, then Israel were also weak. So he realized the value of power, the power of God, the need for prayer, the need for patience. Because in part of his life, he waited for 40 days and for 40 nights. He waited for Moses. We also talked about the need for principles. Joshua was a man of principles. When he went in to view out the land, even though 10 of the spies said one thing and the majority were saying, this is what it's like, Joshua and Caleb were honest and stood by what they believed, and they trusted in the Lord. They were men of principles, and Joshua was a man of principles. He also recognized it was God's prerogative to open doors and to shut doors. It was God that called Joshua. It was God that said, this is what I want you to do. And this is something all of us have to understand, that it's in God's gift, whether the door is open or the door is shut. As we read this book of Joshua, we discover a people who are going in to possess their possessions. As I said, I've called it a journeying with Joshua. Some of you perhaps aren't really journeying at the moment. Some of you may be stuck. If you're traveling on the roads at the moment, silage time again, and so often you get stuck on the road, stuck behind tractors. Caleb said to me the other day, how many tractors is that now we've ended up behind? And you're trying to make some progress and you're stuck behind a tractor. Sometimes spiritually we're like that. We're stuck. We're not really making any progress. And so even the very title of our series would challenge some of our hearts. Are we journeying this morning? Are we really making progress with the Lord this morning? Are we possessing our possessions? Are we more than conquerors? or are we less than conquerors? There was a generation who perished in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb entered into the land. Only a small number seemed to be victorious, and it seems even among the people of God, so little are interested in going on and going on with the Lord. I want to look at these few verses this morning and really to challenge us about our walk again with the Lord. We trust it'll be a blessing to you this morning. The first thing I want us to see is they had a great captain. They had a great captain. Verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. You know, the children of Israel would never be able to say, we failed, we didn't possess our possessions because we didn't have a great captain. We had no one really to lead us. We had no one really to show us the way. As we talked about Joshua already, we've mentioned it again this morning, he was a man of exceptional qualities. He was a great leader. He was a great captain, and they had no excuse. They couldn't point to Joshua and to Joshua's failures and say, if he had been a better man, if he had been more like Moses, perhaps we would have made it. Perhaps we would have gone on further with the Lord. We read that Moses was dead. You know, because of Moses' failure, because he didn't trust the Lord when he struck the rock twice, he wasn't able to see the promised land. We read this in Deuteronomy 3, verse 25. The Lord just really laid this in my heart to share you to begin with this morning. I pray thee, this is Moses, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. And here's what God said to Moses. Speak no more unto me of this matter. And I wonder, is that relevant to someone here this morning? I believe it must be, because the Lord really singled this out to me when I was getting ready for this meeting. Speak no more unto me about this matter. Have you been pleading with the Lord? Has the Lord said no? Have you continued to plead with the Lord and the Lord said no? Have you tried to go in a certain direction and the door was closed? Have you been trying for so long to do this because you think this is what God wants you to do? And God has said once again, don't speak to me anymore about the matter. This is not for you. This is not what I want for you. I say that may be for someone here this morning, but Moses had died. You know, we there's a lot of chat recently about numbers at funerals. Well, Moses only had one person at his funeral, and that's God. God alone was at the funeral of Moses. He didn't want the grave of Moses to become an idol. And so where Moses was buried is a secret even on to this day. But we read in Deuteronomy 34, verse 8, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And here's the children of Israel facing new territory, new challenges, new difficulties, new problems. And the very time they needed Moses, Moses was taken away from them. And I'm sure they wondered what they were going to do. I'm sure they wondered where we're going to turn to. How can we go on? I'm sure many of them said, we're finished. There's no future. How could we manage without Moses? Verse 2, here's what the Lord said. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. And God said to the children of Israel, Moses is dead, but you have to keep going. I've still got a plan for you. I've still got a purpose for you. I've still got a path for you that will bring glory to me. And God was saying to them, I want you to keep going and to keep going on. But you know, God just doesn't tell us to keep going. Sometimes when people suffer great loss, God encourages us to go on. God gives us the means to go on. And you see in verse number 5 what God said. The Lord says, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. The God that was with Moses in Egypt, the God that was with Moses when he failed, when he succeeded, when he was up, when he was down, the God that was with Moses through thick and thin, he says, I'm going to be with you. Moses was dead, but God wasn't dead. And he says, I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. And many of us have found, and I'm sure it's been your experience too, when When we lose someone precious to us, there are a lot of promises we get, and people are well-meaning, and sometimes they do fail us, and sometimes they do let us down, but God will never do it. And God was encouraging them just to keep going on. For he says, I'm not going to leave you, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. My point to you this morning is this. They had Joshua. And they couldn't point the finger at Joshua. We have a greater captain. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Joshua is really an anglicized form of the name Jesus. And really, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we look to Joshua this morning, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He is the captain of our salvation. You know, Moses represented the law. He could only take them to the border so far. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And Moses was complimented by Joshua. What did the Lord Jesus say about the law? I am not come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And I want you to see Joshua as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joshua was very much alive, and Jesus Christ is alive. He lives in us. Paul said in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He keeps us. Jude 1 verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He empowers us. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He understands us. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. We have a captain this morning who lives in us, who keeps us, who empowers us, who understands us, who loves us. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. He makes us victorious, but thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see, as believers this morning, we've got a great captain. No believer will ever be able to say, I didn't possess my possessions. I didn't progress spiritually because my captain failed me. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. This, of course, is the 12th of July. You couldn't go past the 12th of July without mentioning Keen Billy. Well, apparently, Keen William was a brilliant military tactician. He was so clever, and he was also a man who motivated his men. He was with the men. He encouraged the men. On the other hand, King James didn't have the same military prowess. King James, when they were losing the battle, he fled, and he left the men on their own. And the confidence dropped. Our captain will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he'll never fail us. We've got a great captain this morning. Why are you not possessing your possessions? You see the great captain. Let me talk about, secondly, they had God's command. Look at verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. You know, they didn't have to have a prayer meeting and say, Lord, where do you want us to go? God says, I want you to go in. I want you to possess this land. They had the definite word of God. Arise and go over this Jordan. When God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, he said this in Exodus 3 verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them, speaking of Israel, of course, out of the land of the Egyptians, and bring them out of that land into a good land. And a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God had purpose for them that they would go into the land. It was a good land. It was a large land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the place of blessing. It's the place of growth. It's the place where we're spiritually going on. We're possessing our possessions. We're living victorious lives. That's why the blood of the Lamb was taken. The Lamb had to die. The blood was shed. The blood was applied. Israel were brought out of Egypt, brought through the Red Sea by the blood of the Lamb. That's why you have been brought out of the world by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That you might possess your possessions. And yet, so many of God's people are still in the wilderness. No progress, no victory. No possessing their possessions. Canaan speaks of the place of spiritual victory, where we're dead to sin and alive unto God. You know, more scripture is directed to the perfecting of the saints than the converting of the sinner. And God doesn't just want you saved. He wants you built up. He wants you going on. He wants you enjoying the Lord, not enduring the Lord. You know, we've got a great captain this morning. We have no excuse. You know, we've got God's command this morning. It's His desire that you and I would live victorious Christian lives in this godless world. You see, we've got a great captain. We've got God's command. You know, He has every blessing for us. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we've already got the blessings. They're ours. But we're going to have to claim them. You know, everything was in place here. You know, Israel were ready. They were at the border. They were ready to move on. You know, the Canaanites, God had been working in their hearts, because we know from Joshua chapter 2, we touched on this a few weeks ago when we looked at Rahab in the drive-in church. Rahab says that the terror is falling upon us. God had them prepared. They were terrified of the children of Israel and the children of Israel's God. Everything was ready. Even the River Jordan, it was overflowing its banks at this time. And God was going to take them through them. And the greater the difficulty, they would see that God would get the greatest glory. And their faith would be tested. And their faith would be proved. Everything was in place to claim the victory. Has lockdown got you down? Have you found yourself so defeated, so depressed, so downhearted, spiritually speaking? Is the Lord saying to you, it's time to look up? It's time to go on. It's time to possess your possessions. You see the great captain. You see God's command. Then in verse 3, you see we're to go and claim it. Yes, God has given it to us. God has promised it to us. But here's our responsibility. Look at Joshua 1 verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Israel had the title deed to the land, but they still had to go in and possess it. You see, the sovereignty of God is yours. Here's the responsibility of man. Everywhere your sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. It's already yours, but you're going to have to claim it. You can't sit on your hands and expect to grow spiritually. It won't happen. You set a little baby down and neglect to feed them, neglect to look after them. I'll tell you, they'll not grow. They'll not go on well. You know, they'll wither and wither. And unless something happens, their very life would be in danger. Spiritually, it's the same. You're going to have to go in and claim the blessings that God has for you to live this victorious Christian life. I have a friend and he likes to go to Turkey. I don't know why. Maybe it's lovely, but he loves to go to Turkey. And he's always telling me about the great hotels and everything's all inclusive. He says you can eat whatever you like. That's definitely not for me. I could do with eating a bit less. But he says this is great. Can you imagine going in an all-inclusive deal and sitting eating crackers because you're afraid that you're going to have to pay for a meal that you can't afford? And it's all there. It's already paid for. The blessings are there. They're yours. But you're going to have to go and claim them. You're going to have to step in and claim them. It's like having a library of books. I think it was Ironside had 3,000 books in his library. And he said, have you read them all? He says, no, they're all mine, but I haven't read them all. They were all his possession, but he hadn't claimed them all, if I can put it like that this morning. Indeed, Vernon McGee says that Israel only claimed a tenth of their territory. Look at verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Who owns the land? Israel. The UN need to read this. All the countries in the world that are against Israel need to read this. The land belongs to Israel, but they had to go in and they had to possess it. Now, what about you this morning? You see, over in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, you don't have to turn to it, but here in the midst of this book, here's what the Lord said. Now, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There remaineth very much land yet to be possessed. Are you old this morning? Do you think you're there? Do you think there's nothing more to achieve? There's nothing more to enjoy? Even as young people, do we feel we've made it, we're saved, we're all right? There remaineth very much land still to be possessed. There's much more. Someone has said you need to put the foot of faith on the promises of God. When I was young, they probably still said, if you had somebody in the car with you and they felt you weren't going fast enough, they'd say, put the pedal to the metal. Well, you need to put the foot of faith to the promises of God and start to claim the blessings that God has for you. I just want you to see this morning. I want you to see this morning that we have a great captain. You know, we have God's command. We don't have to pray about this. God wants you to be living a victorious life. We have to go and we have to claim it. And yet, in spite of all this, there are so many that are living defeated lives. It's for you this morning. It's free this morning, but you have to claim it. Now, you see the great captain. You see God's command. You see the need to go and claim it. Something else we have here. We're guaranteed to conquer. Look at verse 5. Joshua 1, verse 5. You see, when you want to claim your inheritance, it's going to mean conflict. And maybe that's why you haven't, because it means work. It means doing something. It means getting involved. Verse 5, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, the Lord's speaking to Joshua here personally. And the Lord's saying to Joshua, no man will be able to stand before thee. And I'll tell you what I take from that this morning. There are some believers, and they're in a spiritual wilderness, and they could point to a man or a woman who let them down. Here's what the Lord says. There's no man able to stand in your way. You see, we have no excuses this morning. And maybe you've been playing the blame game. Joshua was going to take some 2 million people into a strange land. They would face 7 nations that were battle-hardened, that had great weapons. All Israel had at times were scythes. They would face giants. They would face walled cities. It wasn't going to be easy. But when God commanded them, God would enable them. God would give them the ability to do what he wanted them to do. You remember the man who came with the withered hand? And remember what the Lord said to the man, stretch forth the hand. Now, it was something impossible. But when God commands, God gives the ability. When God spoke to Lazarus, when the Lord Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he was dead. It's impossible. But when God gives the command, God gives the enablement. And if God wants us to possess our possessions, he has given us the enablement to do that. And that's why verse 5 is so precious. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. They're promised the presence of the Lord. It wasn't Moses' presence of mind that Joshua needed. He just needed the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you, Moses valued the presence of the Lord more than anything else. Do you remember what he said in Exodus 33, verse 14? God said to him, first of all, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. The presence of the Lord meant everything to Moses. And it's now meaning everything to Joshua. What's it mean to you? Well, you can sort of ascertain what it means to you. Do you love being in his presence? Do you spend much time in his presence? If you were going out with someone and you don't want to be with them, well, it's not going to last very long. Sure, it's not. And yet we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and we seem to be happy to spend so little time with him. I wonder who you're blaming this morning. I wonder whose path you crossed maybe years ago. And they knocked you off spiritually. And that's been your reason for no spiritual growth for years. Maybe an old person here this morning. And somebody put your nose out of joint years ago and you've never got over it. And that's what you're holding on to. When you come to the judgment seat of Christ, and when the Lord asks, I give you all these talents, and yet all you did was bury them, is that what you're going to say to him? It was Ian Wilson. He hindered me. He got in my way. The Lord says, no man is able to stand against thee. See, if you have a desire to go on with the Lord will take you on. No matter who, no matter where, no matter what. And this promise is carried into the New Testament. When the writer says in Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we, plural, we as God's people may boldly say, the Lord is my helper personally. It's a personal thing, isn't it? The Lord's going to be our helper, but he'll help you personally this morning if you appropriate his promise. This is one of the exceeding great and precious promises this morning. Look at verse number 6. We'll move on quickly. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. You see their promised victory. You see strength and courage is available from the Lord. They needed courage because of the places. Some of the places like Jericho were walled up to heaven. They needed courage because of the people. They were fierce and warlike. They needed courage because of the provision. They had been spoiled in the wilderness. The manna had fed them. They'd had the meat. And that was going to stop because we'd soon discover the manna ceased. And they had to eat of the old corn of the land again. They needed courage. They needed courage because of the places and the people and the provision. They needed courage because even if the people of God, particularly Joshua, would they murmur? Would they complain? Would they be like the previous generation and say, would to God we had stayed in Egypt? And 3 times Joshua is told to be strong. 3 times he's told to be courageous. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. They needed strength and they needed courage. And Joshua needed courage to stand upon the word of God. Paul says in Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm just looking at growth this morning and possessing your possessions. And when we go through the book of Joshua, we'll come upon this time and time again. And you see, this morning, we've got a great captain. You certainly cannot blame the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. This morning, we've got God's commandment to go and to claim it. We also need to go and claim it, and we're guaranteed to conquer. But what's wrong this morning? I want to talk finally this morning about the guilty culprit. The guilty culprit. You see, I think from verses 7 through to verse 9, you discover who really is to blame this morning. It's not that person. It's certainly not the Lord. I know the guilty culprit when it comes to me and he's standing here in the pulpit. And that's the guilty culprit. You see, verses 1 to 6 are conditional in verses 7 to 9. Look at verse 8 especially. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then, see the then? That marks the division. You see, if you followed everything from verse 7 through to verse 8 to the then, what happens then? Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think I'm right in saying this is the only mention of success in the Bible. And it's attached to your relationship to the Word of God. You see, the guilty culprit this morning, when you read verse number 7, only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is in thy law. You see, to be able to obey God's word, you must know God's word. And I think here's the problem that many of us have this morning. We're supposed to know the word of God. Notice what it says. Observe to do according to all the law. Do you cherry pick the Bible? Is there lovely wee verses in the Psalms and thank God for them? And you love them when they give you a lift, but there's maybe verses that challenge you, you're not as fussed on. Do you cherry pick the Word of God? Are there some things in your life and you're never challenged by them, and you look at other believers and they seem to fall over these things? Maybe it's materialism. You say, well, that's not me. Maybe it's pride. That's not me. But then there's something. And you cherry pick the word of God. And you can take a verse and you can apply it to everybody else. But you can't apply it to yourself. You see, this book of the law, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all which Moses my servant commanded thee. And here he goes on, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. You see, have you turned it? Have you tried to twist the scripture? Maybe you've turned it on its head. And I've known believers to do that. I know, do you know how I know? Because I've tried it. I tried for years to turn this book on its head to suit something that I wanted to do until God turned me in my head. And you either get in line with this book. And if God's trying to turn you around and get you in line with this book, you let him do that work. Don't fight it. Don't fight against it this morning. Have you been turning it to the right or turning to the left? And you've found yourself, as I say, turning it on its very head. This is a constant battle. We want to possess our possessions. Victory is not only possible, it's guaranteed, but we're going to have to live by the word of God. You know, there's some people glad that the gyms are opening. Here's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, that doesn't mean it's of no value. Bodily exercise, when it comes to spiritual things, profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. If you like, verse 7 is our duty. Verse 8 is our desire. And here, I think, is where the rubber meets the road this morning. Because verse 7 becomes easy when verse 8 is real to you. You see, verse 8 is really for those who love the word of God. Now, let's see how it plays out here. I'll do this very simply and very quickly. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It affects what we say. But not only that, do you ever talk about the word of God? John Bunyan was saved one time listening to two women talking about the word of God. Would anybody ever hear you talk about the word of God? Does the word of God affect what you say? You see, it should affect what we say. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It should affect what we think, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What about your mind? It's not just what we say, it's what we think. I know lockdown has been difficult mentally for a lot of people. It's been a stressful time. But I just wonder, have we been meditating on the word of God? Have we been trying to fill our minds with the word of God? And meditate on the word of God. You see, if you love the book, it makes all the difference in the world. It affects what we say. It affects what we think. It affects what we do. That thou mayest, we're still in verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You see, it affects our language. It affects our mind. It affects our activity. Is there anything you do that's going against the word of God? And you know the answer this morning. It affects what we say. It affects what we think. It affects what we do. It affects the way we go. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I just wonder, when it comes to your steps and your direction and the way you go, how often does this book play a part? It should affect what we say, what we think, what we do, and where we go. And I think if you get verse 7 and verse 8 and put them into practice, I believe then we'll follow our great captain. I think that won't be a problem to us. I think we'll want to obey God's command. We'll want to possess our possessions. I think we'll want to go and claim all that salvation brings. I think we'll rejoice that we're guaranteed to conquer. I think that you and I won't be the guilty culprit. We will understand what's going on. We will proclaim the word of God. We will ponder the word of God. We will practice the word of God. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And over again, God is giving us these wonderful promises. Someone said of a church one time, wake up, sing up, preach up, pray up, and pay up, but never give up, let up, shut up, or back up until the cause of Christ in this church and in the world is built up. I wonder, have we given up? Has lockdown got you down? And is the Lord looking you to look to him this morning? I read, now these facts are from 2017, that in bank accounts in the United Kingdom, there's £850 million lying unclaimed. Their bank accounts, perhaps someone passed away, perhaps someone opened a bank account as a child and forgot about it. And there's, at that stage, it was over 800 million, it's probably over a billion today, of unclaimed money. It's sitting there. Nothing's happening. It belongs to someone, but they're unaware of it. The Lord has a multitude of blessings for you. Multitude of blessings. I believe for you, he wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you're not able to contain. If you're like me this morning, here's the guilty culprit. And if we're right with this book, because this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And if we're right with this book, and we're trying to live according to the word of God, just like Joshua was instructed, we'll have all the promises that Joshua was given. And I think we'll be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God this morning. And Lord, you know we're individual circumstances. And Lord, there may be part of the message that's not appropriate for some and appropriate for others. But Lord, we're happy for the Spirit of God to make the application. Lord, perhaps we've turned to the right or the left. And Lord, we're in the wrong pathway. And Lord, we need to get back into the right pathway. Lord, help us spiritually to have prosperity and good success. Lord, you've given us the prescription. You've told us what we have to do. Lord, there's a multitude of blessing for the people of God. There's help for every situation. There's a promise for every need. Lord, we pray that as thy people, we will claim our possessions. We will possess our possessions. Lord, that we might live victorious lives in this ungodly world. For it's in and through our Savior's. You have the office bearers.